Opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and the Sergeant-at-Arms is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is my pastor, Reverend Jeff Hansen of Spirit of Hope United Methodist Church in Golden Valley. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious One, the end is near, we are reminded. But before it arrives, there is much to do. There's a lot on the minds of those gathered here, heavy responsibility resting on their shoulders. There is so much stirring and calling for attention that it is difficult in ways even to pause as we do now for a prayer. Yet in pausing, we are also reminded that we are not alone in this. You are powerfully present, offering your calming grace, your wise counsel, your rich peace, all given to enable us to think deeply and compassionately with wisdom and wide awareness about the questions and needs before us. So may that wisdom and awareness be evident and abundant in the words spoken and heard, in the spirit of the exchange, and in the work that happens here today as a result, for the good of all, for the lasting and true good of all, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. The third order of business is messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file, herewith returned. Senate file number 1504, a bill for an act relating to health, changing the expiration date for e-health advisory committee, the trauma advisory council, and the maternal and child health advisory task force. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And, Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 501 and 1257. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The fourth order of business is first reading of House bills. The bills are printed on the agenda. They will be referred as indicated. First reading. The eighth order of business is the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on the list provided on the Senate bill introductions, and they will be referred as indicated. First reading of Senate bills. The ninth order of business are authors' motions, which will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The resolutions that are printed on the agenda will be referred to the Committee on Rules. The 13th order, no, I'm sorry. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And the list, members, is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 91 on general orders, House File 2193, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File 2193 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 13, 2015, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. Members, we have before us two work comp bills on the Senate floor, Senate File 2056 and Senate File 1822. The House merged these bills into House File 2193, which had also been our plan, so this is a clean way to move the bill forward.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File 2193 addresses a number of issues, all of which have been approved by the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. A big component of the legislation is to implement the DRG reimbursement system for inpatient hospital payments. This is an effort to slow down increases in in-hospital costs and to make the system more efficient. This provision is a result of negotiations between insurers and hospitals with input from both business and labor. It has been thoroughly vetted and scrutinized, and we are not aware of any substantive opposition to it. The remaining sections of the bill relate to the electric health care transactions, electric fund transfers for payments of benefits, and reporting of injuries. The e-billing needed some work to address implementation concerns in some organizations. The stakeholders were able to work through those issues and reach agreement on language that is now included in the bill. Madam President and members, this bill includes important reforms and updates to our work comp system. A lot of work has gone into bringing this bill forward and has been many years in the works. I would like to recognize the industries, council members, department staff, and Commissioner Peterson for their efforts in getting this done. I would also like to acknowledge the two individuals that regrettably are no longer with us to see this achieved. Deputy Commissioner Chris Iden and Chamber President David Olson both played key roles in this reform. With that, members, I would ask for your support and stand for any questions you may have.
Discussion of House File 2193. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to know if Senator Sparks will yield for a question.
Senator Sparks, do you yield? He does. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sparks, I have, as you recall, this particular bill was supposed to come to my committee for the Advisory Council composition review. And based on your advice, we did not hear this bill because the Advisory Council was taken out of the Senate version. And it is my understanding that that particular council, the language on that council, is part of the House bill, and it does not include several organizations who have been part of this conversation, who have asked for inclusion in this advisory council. But I am not versed on the issue, and I would like to ask for your commitment to include those organizations if that language is going to move forward or not include the advisory committee at all. I would like to have a response.
Senator Sparks, response to the question.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Torres-Ray. Actually, this bill, or a portion of this bill, did come before your committee. It was a late bill that went through the Rules Committee. I think you may be thinking of the Ag budget bill that's currently in Senator Tomasoni's division, but Senate File 2056 was heard in state and local government.
Further discussion of House File 2193. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 2193 its third reading.
House File Number 2193, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation, adopting recommendations of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council.
Third reading. Further discussion? The Secretary will take the roll on House File 2193. All members having voted who desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on special orders is number 62 on general orders, House File 1003, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. And this bill comes to us from my fire chief in Columbia Heights, Gary Gorman, and also Ken Prilliman of Brooklyn Park Fire Department, the fire chief there. They wanted to do something to prevent us from just getting rid of their used gear that they can't resell to other local units of government. So this is a bipartisan effort to help those small towns and areas that can't afford additional equipment, or those towns in third world countries where they are fighting fires in t-shirts and so forth. So what this basically does is say that they can donate the equipment to nonprofits and local units of government can, for example, fire jackets, turnout gear that no longer meets the standards and in this country or in our state, but will meet the standards in a foreign country. So it's a good bill because it does make sure that that equipment is reused. The cell phones that they can donate can be used in women's shelters, and they don't like to throw all this stuff out and fill the landfills with it when it can still be used. Ken Prilliman, of the fire chief of Brooklyn Park, he does a volunteer work in Africa teaching fire farming and training.
Just a moment, Senator Goodwin. I would ask those who are having private conversations to take them off the floor of the Senate.
Thank you, Madam Goodwin. Thank you, Madam President. So he does, Ken Prilliman does work in helping organize fire departments and train them in African countries. And he says that some of these folks are fighting fires in t-shirts, so they want to give their used equipment that has no resale value here to donate it to those efforts. So I appreciate your support. Stand for any questions. Thank you.
Further discussion of House File 1003. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 1003 its third reading.
House File Number 1003, a bill for an act relating to local government, permitting local governments to donate certain surplus equipment to nonprofit organizations.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1003. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Third bill on special orders is number 80 on general orders, House File 1554, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File 1554 by the Committee on Rules and Administration, the report adopted May 13, 2015, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. Members, this is the Ag Omnibus Policy Bill. The House language maintains the original Department of Ag Policy Bill, and it also has a few other provisions that are already now ready to advance. A few provisions that have already passed the Senate, including the Agritourism Bill of Senator Schmidt, the Equity Stripping Bill of Senator Ingebrigtsen, and the Diesel Fuel Provision that was Senator Jensen Waitz and Measures Bill. A provision to allow farms impacted by the avian flu to access the RFA Disaster Relief Program is included. It also raises the loan cap for that program. We feel at this time this is the best path forward to getting these other provisions done yet this session, Madam President.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Say no. The motion prevails. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. So House File 1554, as I said, is the Ag Omnibus Policy Bill. In addition to the previous provisions that I've already mentioned, it includes a number of housekeeping provisions from the Department of Agriculture, raises loan limits and best management practices loan programs and loan programs operated by the Rural Finance Authority, updates the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's authority under an emergency related to contaminated food, creates an exemption to the seed law to allow for the sharing of seeds for home, educational, charitable, or personal use. This was developed working with the people at the Duluth Seed Library and is a Senator Reinhart provision. We also have some clarifying language on internet sales of certain pesticides. That was a Senator Dibble motion. Members, I can run through the rest of the sections of the bill or answer questions at this time. The bill had strong committee support in committee and bipartisan support in the other body, and with that, I would encourage passage of this bill today.
Discussion of House File 1554. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, I rise in favor of House File 1554. Members, this bill does have some things that I think you would be interested in, but nevertheless are, I think, pretty good things. When going through the bill, you'll notice that there's loan provisions addressing local units of government approval, which is always a good thing, I believe. The second thing is allowing joint powers agreements for household hazardous waste disposal language, which I think is good, that addresses the issues that came before the committee, as well as Senator Sparks had mentioned the equity stripping bill, which is now finally included in language, along with other residents when it comes to foreclosures, giving the farm and contiguous farmland the same rights as everybody else. So again, I stand in favor and of House File 1554. I think it's a real good bill.
Discussion of House File 1554, but before that, pursuant to Rule 12.5, Senator Metzen moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on Senate File 997 and Senate File number 1265. From the beginning of session, Senator Jensen, Metzen, and Gazelka. All in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Dietzig.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise. I have talked to Senator Sparks about this bill many, many times in the last month, and I rise because I have concerns. Last year, we put in a provision basically a labeling provision to let consumers know if a plant was actually bee-friendly or not. There's a big article by, I think, Josephine Marcotti in the Star Tribune today, and it continues to be a big issue. I think the rate of colony collapse has continued to increase in the state here and across the country, and so I think people are concerned about that, and people want to know if their plants are bee-friendly. And the House bill tweaks that a little bit and changes it where I have concerns. I think the bottom line is that there is a big difference of opinion of actually, is there a safe level of pesticides that could be applied to a plant that are not toxic to
bees. And so I have some serious concerns. I've had many conversations with Senator Sparks and with the Nursery Association over the last few weeks, and unfortunately we haven't come to a compromise, but I know there's a lot of other things in this bill that are important to people, so I've agreed not to attempt to amend it, but they have agreed to continue working over the summer, and Senator Sparks has agreed to give us a hearing next year, so I am not going to do an amendment today, but I just wanted to let people know that this is a serious issue. Bees are important to our crops. They help pollinate, and we are still an agricultural state, so I think we do need to pay attention to this issue, and I think the consumers want to help, and so we just need to give them the opportunity to help with the bees, and they just want to know, is this a bee-friendly plant? I would also like to state that the Department of Ag does have a program and is actually working with several of the nurseries to for them to be able to label a plant as neonicotinoid-free, which takes it to another level, and that is something that the nurseries and the Department of Ag are working on. At least one nursery has met that protocol, and so they will be advertising plants as neonicotinoid-free, and I think others are looking into that. And so there are options for consumers to look to and look at different things, and I will continue working on this issue. And I'd like to thank Senator Sparks for agreeing to continue working on this issue because it is a big deal. Thanks.
Further discussion of House File 1554. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President, and I rise in support of Bill 1554. I think there's a lot of good provisions in the bill. The first one, when we doubled the loan limits for the agricultural best management, so I think that's certainly a good provision. The equity stripping is a good provision, and also the seed labeling, relaxing that a little bit, is probably the right thing to be doing. There are several good provisions in this bill, and I think we need to move this bill forward. As Senator Dietzick talked about, there's certainly some issues with bees and pollinators, and I think it's good we have that discussion, and I think there's a lot of other issues in that arena that we have to talk about. Some of the language that's in statute right now is very vague, and it does present some issues. So I think when we're talking about this next year, we need to take a total look at the pollinator situation and make sure that if we come up with language and come up with a bill, that it's a bill that's going to work and going to be feasible, and it's going to have some factors in there that we can base some of those assumptions on. So with that, I would ask that the folks cast a green vote on this bill.
Further discussion of House File 1554. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Not to belabor the discussion on pollinators, I just wanted to rise to indicate I intend to vote in favor of the bill, and I concur with the assessment that there are a number of good provisions and a few bad provisions that were picked up in the Senate got dropped along the way, so I'm happy that those things aren't in there. But just to reiterate a couple of the points that Senator Dietzick and Senator Dames have just made, I'm concerned that people will now be going to nurseries purchasing plants that are labeled pollinator-friendly that actually contain sub-lethal amounts of insecticides that actually harm pollinators. And that's the paradox of how this policy has been stripped out and changed that we have now in our laws. We absolutely need to have some better conversation with all stakeholders so we're not having the sort of conflict in committee and in the formation of our statutes and laws. I think the facts will bear out. You don't have to kill a bee on the spot in order to cause great harm to both our domestic and wild, domesticated and wild pollinators. These sublethal effects in combination with a number of other dynamics that are occurring in our environment and on the landscape are causing a tremendous amount of pressure and stress to both wild and domesticated pollinators. No one's claiming any one factor is causing the crisis that we're facing in this arena. It's a combination of factors, but we need to grapple with those. And so I look forward to continued work with Senator Sparks, Senator Dames, and all the stakeholders, tremendous research institute that we have at the University of Minnesota, to get some facts out on the table and develop some rational policies that support all of our shared goals in terms of our food system, our environment, and our quality of life. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. And I just wanted to take a moment to extend some appreciation to Senator Sparks, Senator Dames, and the Department of Ag staff, who did put a lot of time and energy into finding the right balance on the seed library issue. This first arose at the public library in Duluth well before session. I can remember talking to Senator Sparks in early December saying we needed to take a look at this during this session. So I'm glad to see it moving forward in a way that has really broad stakeholder support, and look forward to getting it passed today and sent to the governor.
Further discussion of House File 1554. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sparks yield for a question?
He yields. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sparks, could you give me more information about Section 20 about the emergency powers? There's quite a bit of language there that has some concern for me. Maybe your explanation can ease those concerns.
Senator Sparks. Section 20.
20? Madam President and Senator Kiffmeyer, I believe that that was language that was related to the avian flu. It expands the Minnesota Department of Ag's food embargo and condemnation authority to include equipment and facilities. It also authorizes the Minnesota Department of Ag to halt or control the movement of food during an emergency declared by the governor, the Board of Animal Health, or the federal government. Is that helpful?
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, that is. Thank you.
Further discussion of House File 1554. Senator Latz.
Madam President, I'm not quite as willing as some of the other members of the Senate to let this bee pollinator provision go unaddressed. So to that end, I'd like to offer the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Latz moves to amend House File Number 1554 as follows, page 3, and this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, my understanding is that there is some level at which bees that visit plants too many times and pollinate it take up too much of the chemical that is used chemicals were used in the growing of the plant. So to that end, I've got the A1 amendment. It would provide a cap on the number of times that a bee may visit a plant. They could not visit a plant more than 5 times for the purposes of pollination. If they exceed this cap, they would be guilty of a felony. Now, I know we don't want to create too many felon bees in Minnesota, but this felony would be a mandatory 5-year felony and a mandatory fine of $10,000 that the bee would have to pay. Members, the proceeds from the fines are dedicated. They are dedicated to a special revenue account and are appropriated from that account to the Commissioner of Transportation. The funds could only be used for transportation infrastructure improvements. My back-of-the-napkin fiscal projections are that this should provide sufficient dedicated revenue to fund the entire Senate transportation bill. And I finally note that any bee that is convicted of this felony under this subdivision shall not be disenfranchised from voting. Members, I'd certainly like your support on the A1 amendment.
Where shall I go first? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Madam President. And Senator Latz, you almost had me convinced here, but there'd be one little thing I'd like to do. I'd like to do an amendment to your amendment, and I would like to make sure that you're the attorney, you're the jury, and you're the judge that has to go out and deal with the bees and implement the fines and make sure that they're properly paid for and taken care of. And by the way, you can't collect workers' compensation for all the bee stings.
Further discussion of the A1 amendment, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Latz yield for a question?
He does.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Glatz, being the Judiciary Chairman, has this been through the Judiciary Committee? And I would like to know, I'm always interested in the bed count and what it would cost the folks for the incarceration of potentially literally millions and millions of felons here.
Senator Glatz.
Madam President, this was not introduced as a separate bill, so the committee has not had a chance to consider it yet. By the way, I would not consider Senator Dame's amendment to be friendly.
Further discussion? Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I'll just serve notice if this amendment goes on, I'm going to Rule 21 it to transportation.
Further discussion of the A1 amendment? Senator Pappas. Oh.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if Senator Glatz would consider this a friendly amendment. I would like to make the propose that the bee be made the official state insect.
Further discussion of Amendment A1. Senator Glatz.
Madam President, I know there's been a lot of buzz about this topic lately. I think the mosquitoes would have to fight it out with the bees over that one.
Further discussion, Senator Lemmer.
Madam President, I don't know a lot about this subject, so I don't want to be stung by this unexpected amendment. Senator Glatz, your bill is just hard to believe.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Glatz, I find your amendment very discriminatory. You treat the bee as if they're the only culprit here. What about the wasp and moths? I just don't think it's fair to single out the bee. They have their set of issues in their community, and I would just hope that if this passes, that they have members of their community willing to represent them in court, and I'm appalled at the discriminatory nature of this amendment.
Further discussion of the A1 amendment.
Madam President, point of order. I don't think
Senator
all the discussion.
Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't think all the discussion we're having is on my amendment to the amendment, and I would like a roll call on that amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Glatz.
Madam President, I think the lawyer bee from It's a Bee's Life is no longer available, so I'm not sure I'm going to have adequate counsel. Under the circumstances, I think I better withdraw the A1 amendment.
The A1 amendment is withdrawn. Further discussion of House File 1554. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 1554 its third reading.
House File Number 1554, a bill for an act relating to agriculture, making policy and technical changes to various agriculture-related provisions.
The Secretary will take the roll on House File 1554. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Announcements of Senate interest, the 13th order of business. Are there any announcements?
Madam President.
Senator, excuse members, Senator Ortman all day, Senator Westrum, 1110 to 1120, Senator Cohen from 1115 to the end, Senator Bach from 1115 until the end. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I see Senator Bach, Majority Leader, is not on the floor. We are, 24 hours ago, we had a discussion on this floor about the progress that was being made in negotiations to bring this session to a conclusion. It might be appropriate to have an update of where we are, and since the Majority Leader is not here, I'm wondering if, Madam President, if Senator Wieger might be willing to answer a question.
Senator Wieger will yield. Let's keep in mind that this is a time for announcements of Senate interest rather than debate. Senator Wieger, did you hear Senator Hahn's question?
I haven't asked it yet.
And
President,
Thought you were asking him to yield for a question regarding an update. Is that correct?
Yes. Madam President, I would like to know if Senator Wieger would give us, as a matter of Senate interest, an update on the status of the Conference Committee on Education, what the targets are, if they've been set, what they've been meeting about, and if he could just let the body know the progress of the negotiations on the E-12 bill.
Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Hahn. The E-12 Conference Committee has met three times, approximately 10 hours. There was about 5 hours devoted to going through the side-by-sides, same and similars, and each provision. The topics have focused on school facilities, QComp, scholarship programs, testing, and which was very timely in light of yesterday's news as well, and the suspension of testing in Minnesota and for MCA on science. There, in addition to those priority items, I've met with the chair, Representative Loon, have explored various topics, but the bottom line is we're awaiting the targets, as you are as well. I look so forward to getting those so we can move ahead further. Thank you very much, Senator Hahn.
Madam President.
Other announcements of Senate interest. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. I wonder if Senator Thomas only would be willing to give us the body for our information and interest, the status of the Conference Committee on Economic Development and Environment and Ag.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Hahn, I'd be happy to tell you that so far the House still has the gavel and hasn't called a meeting yet, and I hope we're getting to one pretty soon here. And on the economic development, we've adopted the sames and the similars that we felt were okay to adopt, and we are still waiting for a target.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. Would Senator Lurie be willing to give the body an update on the targets and the status of the Health and Human Services budget?
Senator Lurie.
Yes, Madam President. Senator Hahn, the Health and Human Services Conference Committee has met four times, stepped through the side-by-sides. We've gone through some of the savings provisions in both bills, making sure that we understand where each of us are, but there's still quite a gulf between us. It's not time to be adopting provisions until we have a joint target agreed to by House, Senate leadership, and the governor, so we're awaiting that.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Lurie. Would Senator Bonhoff be willing to tell us about the targets for higher ed and the status of the conference?
She's not on the floor.
Madam President, I appreciate that. What about Senator Latz? Would he be willing to talk about the status of the judiciary and public
Senator Latz.
Yeah, Madam President, I'd be glad to answer the question here. The Judiciary Public Safety Conference Committee received our targets this morning, and as soon as we can get done here on the floor, I can go prepare an offer to send over to my conferees in the House. But we've got our target, and we're ready to go.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Lattice. That is good news. Do you know approximately how long it will take to put your conference committee report together after you've reached agreement?
Senator Lattice.
Madam President, I can't predict that on the behalf of our very capable Senate staff. I'm a little more concerned about how long it will take to get agreement with the House. But I'd like to get started on that right away rather than spending more time on the floor, if I possibly could.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Hahn, we're close to getting a target. I expect that to happen very shortly. We had a hearing this morning because there are many provisions in the Senate bill that the House did not have. And so various members came before the conference committee this morning to talk about their provisions, Senator Nelson, Senator Stumpf. We went over our attainment goals. And now we're hearing public testimony, the idea being that if we can get everything out on the table before we get our target, the minute we get our target, we can get to work and put our bill together quickly.
Is there anyone else who would like to give the body an update on negotiations in conference committees? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Anticipating Senator Hahn, and I appreciate the inquiry. Transportation Finance Conference Committee actually has had some meetings and has adopted a number of same and similar provisions, as well as has adopted a number of provisions that are different from each other's bills, but through the process of discussion and negotiation have come to some agreement on those. Additionally, has done a tremendous amount of work and collaboration with each other, as well as external stakeholders on an initiative that I share with Senator Peterson on public-private partnerships, and we're fashioning a final package hopefully that'll be ready today. In terms of our overall finance targets, as everyone probably knows, similar to Senator Lori's bill, we are very, very wide apart in the respective approaches from the House and the Senate. The House, of course, wanting to do $250 some million in one-time general fund attribution to transportation purposes, and $350 in general fund ongoing, without any plan for its sustainability over the long haul. And so that's a key difference. And, of course, the House bill would provide a 25% cut in just basic transit service and no provision for building and operating transitways in the metropolitan area. So there's a big gulf of difference between us. And at the leadership level, I don't know that there's been any resolution, or we've gotten very close to resolution of those differences.
Anyone else ready to give an update on a conference committee that they're chairing? Then further announcements of
Madam
Senate
President,
entrance. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering, we didn't have a volunteer, but would Senator Saxhog be willing to talk about his conference committee and targets and the status of that committee?
Senator Saxhog.
Yes, Madam President. We have met with our counterparts in the other body and have, can you hear me?
Senator Saxhog, your mic is cutting out.
Is this better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We met to go over the side-by-sides. The chair from the other body has the gavel today. We're anticipating that we're going to get targets late today, early tomorrow, and we'll meet as long as hard as we need to complete that that conference report and bring it back.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Dahl yield, please?
I beg pardon?
Would Senator Dahl yield, please?
He does. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Dahl, you have a bill, Senate File 2142, that deals with the avian flu response. I think it's a very good bill that appropriates $6.5 million.
Senator Dames, we are under announcements of Senate interest. If you have a question of Senator Dahl, please ask it. This is not a time for debate.
Okay, I do have a question, Madam President. Thank you. Senator Dahl, Senate File 2142, the bill that deals with the avian flu and appropriates money to deal with that, not only to the Department of Ag, Board of Health, et cetera, but also to the producers for loans and things like that. Considering that the point of the time this is and with the situation we're putting our agriculture, our producers and stuff in, would you be willing to do a Rule 5 to bring that to the floor so we can get that passed and get this process moved forward?
Senator Dahl.
Well, Madam President and Senator Dames, I do know that those very provisions that you've talked about were passed off the House floor in an ag bill, finance bill, so I think that there's still a path for those sorely needed dollars to get out in before the session ends. So at this point, we do have some time, and I hope that we can get that done, Senator Dames.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Latz yield?
He does. Senator Miller.
Senator Latz, I think it's great news that you have a target. Would you be willing to share your target with the chamber?
Senator Latz.
Madam President, the Judiciary Public Safety Finance Agreement is a target figure of $2,117,509,000.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Just to the majority party, if they would be willing to share those targets with members when they come available, that'd be very much appreciated.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Nenow.
Well, Madam President, I would like to make a motion. I would move that Senate File 2144 be removed from the Committee on State and Local Government, given its second reading and placed on general orders. This is essentially the
Senator Nenow, we are not on motions. We are on announcements of Senate interest. Your motion is out of order.
Madam President,
further announcements parliamentary inquiry, of Madam Senate President? Interest. State your point of parliamentary inquiry.
Now, when may I make that motion, Madam President?
When we're on motions and resolutions, and we have moved beyond that.
Madam President, I would move to revert to motions and resolutions.
I'm sorry, say again.
I would move to revert to motions and resolutions.
That is a proper motion. It will take 45 votes to accomplish.
Madam President,
further discussion on the motion to revert to motions and resolutions.
Parliamentary inquiry, Madam President.
State your point of parliamentary inquiry.
What rule requires that number of votes to revert to motions and resolutions?
If you'll give me a moment, we will give you the citation from Senate rules. Senator Nenow, the rule arises in number 18 on page 15 of Senate rules. 18.1 is indeed the order of business. 18.2 reads, under the order of business of motions and resolutions, which we are not on, parentheses, the Senate may, by a majority vote of the whole Senate, temporarily revert or proceed to any other order of business. But since we are not on motions and resolutions, and we have moved to announcements of Senate interest, it would be a suspension of the rules to move back to motions and resolutions, which requires 45 votes.
Madam President, if you may indulge me, I'd like to read the rule for the members. Under the order of business of motions and resolutions, the Senate may, by a majority vote of the whole Senate, temporarily revert or proceed
Senator
to
Nino,
any other
I just read that aloud.
Order of business. Thank you, Madam President. So your interpretation is that under motions and resolutions, a simple majority can revert anywhere else, but any other item other than motions and resolutions to revert would require a suspension of the rules and a supermajority. Is that your ruling?
That is correct.
Madam President, parliamentary inquiry.
State your point of parliamentary inquiry.
So that would also mean that when the President announces that we're reverting to another order of business, anyone can ask for a supermajority vote. Is that correct, Madam President? If we are not under motions and resolutions.
Senator Nienau, that would be correct, which is why generally when we're moving around, we say remaining on motions and resolutions. In that regard, it does not take a supermajority vote of 45.
Parliamentary inquiry, Madam President.
State your point of parliamentary inquiry.
So if we move from motions and resolutions onto any other order of business, if you do not at that point say remaining on motions and resolutions and moving to, then we are no longer on motions and resolutions. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Thank you, Madam President.
Anyone else? Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Han.
Would it be appropriate to move to suspend the rules to take up Senator Nienau's motion at this time?
Senator Han, that is appropriate. It would take 45 votes. You certainly can move that. It would take 45 votes to return to motions and resolutions, having moved from there to announcements of Senate interest. Is that your motion?
Madam President, then I move that we suspend the rules to allow Senator Nienau to take up his motion. I think it's timely, and I think it would be worthy of this body to have the opportunity to have a discussion and a vote on that motion.
Further discussion of the motion. Remember that this is on the motion to revert to motions and resolutions. It is not a motion. It is not appropriate for substantive discussion for any kind of reason to revert to motions and resolutions. Senator Hayden. Senator Nienau.
First, Madam President, I would request a roll call vote.
There will be a roll call. Senator Nienau.
Madam President, the reason I made the motion to pull up Senate File 2144 today is similar to the motion I made yesterday, is the urgency that I'm beginning to sense. And this is why I think we should suspend the rules and bring this question before the body. And Madam President, the reason why we should suspend the rules and bring up this question is because I felt, and I may not have adequately expressed this yesterday in my floor discussion, I felt that I'm beginning to see a pattern of pointing towards a blow-up, a non-agreement from the Senate.
Senator Nienau, please confine your remarks to the motion to suspend the rules.
Madam President,
that is the only thing that is before us.
Point of order.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, under Rule 34.2, a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of advancing a bill may be made only under the order of business motions and resolutions.
That is the motion. That is the rule we are suspending. So I understand advice from the Secretary's desk. Senator Latz, just one moment for clarification. I stand corrected. We're actually the motion is to suspend Rule 18. So, discussion on the motion to suspend Rule 18, which again, it is not in order to discuss the substance of the bill to which you would like being brought forward, just on the motion to suspend the rule. Senator Nienau, please continue.
Thank you, Madam President. I did not discuss any of the substance of the bill, whatever. What I was beginning to discuss is why I feel it is necessary to suspend the rules so that we can bring the bill up and discuss it. What I'm doing, Madam President, right now is making the case for why suspension of the rules is necessary. The reason I think that is necessary is because I've seen a pattern that will, I believe, very likely make the piece of legislation necessary. And again, Madam President, I'm not going to get into what the bill does, what it will do, but I do want to talk about why it should be contemplated and considered before this body. I have seen a pattern starting with the governor on April 27th talking about where we might not get done. And we need to suspend the rules so that we can consider this bill because it would help alleviate that. And without suspending the rules, we can't do that. The governor said, I'm not going anywhere on May 19th. I'll be here till I get what I want. That's what he said.
Senator Nienau, and in my judgment, you are debating the merits of your bill. Please confine your remarks to the motion in front of us, which is to suspend the rules to revert to motions and resolutions, at which time anyone may bring up a motion.
Madam President, I believe Senator Hand is trying to get your attention. I will sit down.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President, and members. And, Madam President, the reason I made the motion was it seems obvious to me anyway that under the course of the rapid pace of business today on the floor, Senator Nienau missed the opportunity under the order that we normally have to bring up his motion. I made the motion to suspend the rules out of courtesy to a fellow member to allow him to do that. I would just ask the body to extend that courtesy to allow him to bring up the bill. If the body doesn't want to extend that courtesy, I would just suggest that we will bring it up tomorrow and have the debate then.
Further discussion? Roll call has been requested on the hand motion to suspend Rule 18. Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 27 ayes and 37 nays, the motion does not prevail. Remaining on announcements of Senate interest.
Madam President.
Senator Peterson.
Madam President, I had a question for Senator Sieben if she would yield.
Senator Sieben will yield. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sieben, yesterday I asked a question in regards to the budget bills that were remaining and the amount of time or hours that it might take to do the paperwork. I don't recall at this time. It sounded like we have some targets on some of those budget bills, but how many actually budget bills do we have to do actually?
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I don't think that that's an announcement of Senate interest, but I would just say that, Senator Peterson, that negotiations are ongoing, and the situation, as the majority leader often says, the situation is fluid. I, like many other members, I'm watching Twitter to see what other developments are occurring, and I would encourage you to do the same, Senator Peterson.
Madam President.
Senator Sieben.
That's inappropriate.
That was a little bit over the line.
Yeah.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Madam President, and I understand the frustration that the majority must be feeling right now because time is so short. And members, we just spent 10 minutes talking about an amendment on bees. You know, I left the Senate floor.
Senator Peterson, this is not a time for debate. If you have an announcement of Senate interest, please make it.
Well, Madam President, we have a number of questions that relate specifically to our schedule coming up tomorrow and over the weekend, which we will get to, I'm sure. But the next question I have, I guess, would be for Senator Dibble. Will he yield?
Senator Dibble yields. Senator Peterson, what is your announcement of Senate interest?
Madam President, the Senate, I believe, has an interest in knowing how long that the nonpartisan fiscal staff needs to put together a transportation bill once they have the agreement or have a target. Is it 6 hours? Is it 12 hours? Is it 24 hours? Is it 36 hours? Madam President, Senator Dibble, do you have a sense?
Senator Dibble, do you have a response to his inquiry?
Madam President, I don't have a specific answer, but if past experience is any guide, I would guess that our nonpartisan staff would typically need at least a full day, 24 hours. Sometimes they can get it done sooner. A lot of language, of course, is already established, in the computers, and they can just pull it together through, cut and paste. But it is a tremendous amount of work, and a lot of time is needed, and we do need to build in sufficient time in order to get those bills just processed through the administrative aspects of the writing, the processing, getting it printed and posted and that sort of thing. So it's a point well taken. We need to get these things decided and conferred and finalized and to the staff, to the floor, et cetera, soon.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would have a similar question that I believe is of great interest to the Senate. I serve on transportation and have a little better understanding of the size of that bill. In regards to Health and Human Services, much of what I know is that it's a very large, several hundred page bill. I have a question for Senator Lurie, if he would yield.
Senator Lurie yields.
Madam President and Senator Lurie, is there any chance you've checked with your nonpartisan fiscal staff and how many hours they may need to build the Health and Human Services bill?
Senator Lurie, in response to his announcement of Senate interest.
Madam President, Senator Peterson, I don't either have an exact count of the number of hours needed, but time is of the essence. I'd like to get back to work pretty soon.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you again, Madam President. I appreciate the comments about how time is short, but members, again, I would remind you, we just spent 10 minutes talking about creating law that would create a felony for insects in this state. Members, Madam President, it's not a good use of a time, and so the questions that I think we have are certainly valid as we move forward into a very busy weekend.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, Senate counsel and Senate fiscal staff also work for Senator Peterson, so rather than taking up all of our time on the floor, far more than the 10 minutes we spent on bee pollination, Senator Peterson could ask the fiscal and counsel staff himself.
Senator Latz, was that an announcement of Senate interest?
Madam President, I was interested in it.
Madam President.
Senator Ringgebritzen.
Thank you, Madam President. In the Senate interest, could the Assistant Majority Leader tell us, give us an idea about what's happening on Saturday and Sunday? Now, I'm going to be, the majority of us are going to be, the way it appears, within hopefully minutes, adjourning from here and having a whole day evening off, and we actually do all have different functions on the weekends and lives, and could she possibly give us the answer as to what we're going to be doing here on Saturday and Sunday, if we're to be sitting around waiting on Twitter for the information, or please, on a serious note, give us an idea what Saturday and Sunday looks like.
Senator Sieben, announcement of Senate interest with regard to the schedule.
Madam President, it's my understanding that for tomorrow the Senate will come in again at 11 a.m. We will be taking up the confirmation calendar and possibly other bills that are on the Senate calendar. As far as the weekend goes, for right now, I'd say the situation is still fluid and that we're not sure at this point what all members will be doing on the weekend with regards to session.
Madam President.
Just a second. Senator Ingebrigtsen, think further. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I do have an answer, actually, to the question that Senator Peterson asked Senator Lori, because I did check it out, for a reviser to turn a huge HHS bill around, over, I believe, 14 articles. It's about 5-6 inches thick. It's going to take over 75 hours. So, Madam President and members, we are going into special session. Unless we have a deal on the table right now that we can get into conference committee, and I sure would like to know if we have a deal on the table and not have to go to my Twitter account to find out. So please, with all respect, if you could give us a right answer and tell us beforehand what is happening, we would greatly appreciate it, and we can accommodate everybody's issues in this chamber. Thank you.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Sieben.
Madam President.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, I'd like to announce that I have a meeting in my office, and part of it is getting this whole thing done, so I'd like to get out of here.
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Friday, May 15th at 11 a.m.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Senate is adjourned.